In section 29, Calvin Moose talk about public prayer, the corporate prayer meetings of the church. He begins by noting that these are very important. He says, yet these can neither be constant, nor ought they even to take place otherwise and according to the polity agreed upon by the common consent of all. This I grant you. For this reason, certain hours, indifferent to God, but necessary for men's convenience, are agreed upon and appointed to provide for the accommodation of all and for everything to be done decently and in order in the church, according to Paul's statement. So the church obviously cannot gather for prayer around the clock. We do arrange particular times, Calvin says, for corporate congregational prayer that are convenient. He adds, but this does not preclude each church from being both repeatedly stirred up to more frequent use of prayer and fired by a sharper zeal if it is alerted by some major need. This is very important. Calvin says, against kind of staid, formal prayers, going through the motions of prayer meetings. He says, each congregation, even within its set times for congregational prayer, needs to be stirred up. And sometimes its zeal very pointedly stirred up if need arises. Now, he does talk about several dangers of public prayer. He says there's obviously the danger of vain repetition in general, but this doesn't apply to the corporate prayers of the church because, as he says here, that this doesn't forbid us from praying constantly, or, as he says, from praying long or often and with much feeling. However, he says the prohibition of vain repetition would imply, and he mentions two examples, arrogant public prayers, such as the Pharisee made when he thanked God that he was not like other men. And also, as he says, hence that vain repetition, which for a similar reason is in vogue today in the papacy, while some pass the time in saying over and over the same little prayers, praying the rosary. Calvin says this would be vain repetition. He says we've got to guard against hypocritical public prayers. He says, after quoting from, or the editor inserts Matthew 6:5, but inasmuch as this goal of prayer has already been stated, namely, that hearts may be aroused and born to God, whether to praise Him or to beseech His help. From this we may understand that the essentials of prayer are set up in the mind and heart, or rather, that prayer itself is properly an emotion of the heart within, which is poured out and laid open before God, the searcher of hearts. So Calvin says, true prayer is seeking God with all of our heart. Certainly the mind is involved because we have to know God's promises. Faith is involved. We have to believe His promises. But also the emotions are involved because we are praying from the heart. He says that Christ laid down the rule for praying in secret in our prayer closet so that we can seek God without distractions. But this does not mean, Calvin says, that we cannot seek God publicly, provided we avoid ostentatious prayers, vain prayers. He does speak at length here about that praying in the heart, praying in the prayer closet. He says, for Jesus did not mean to deny that it is fitting to pray in other places, but He shows that prayer is something secret, which is both principally lodged in the heart and requires a tranquility far from all our teeming cares. Calvin says that's the reason that the Lord sought places of retirement, went out into quiet, desolate places to pray so that He could pray without burden and interruption. Calvin does say that private prayer is fundamental. And, well, he says at the end of that paragraph, indeed, he who neglects to pray alone and in private, however unremittingly he may frequent public assemblies, there contrives only windy prayers, for he defers more to the opinion of men than to the secret judgment of God. Calvin says it is a fine and necessary thing for us to pray in public together, but if that's not flowing out of private prayer, prayer in secret. Calvin says those are windy prayers that are offered up more for the praise of men than for the praise of God. But to conclude, unlike many today, Calvin says we may not hold the public prayers of the church in contempt. God calls his house, Isaiah 56, Matthew 21, the house of prayer. For Calvin says, for he taught by this term that the chief part of his worship lies in the office of prayer, and that the temple was set up like a banner for believers so that they might with one consent participate in it. So Calvin says we must participate in corporate prayer. It needs to be fervent. It needs to be from the heart. It needs to be at regular hours to encourage as much participation as possible. But Calvin says it flows from true prayer of the heart. So maybe what we could say in conclusion is that the vitality, the constancy of our congregational corporate praying is a reflection of our private, in our closet praying before the Lord.